Everything, like everything you're carrying is on my back. I can't even take anything. That's Rocky.
Come here, Mickey.
That's exactly how you're gonna sound like when you get to the top of that mountain.
Eat that.
Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour.
Good for you.
So good for you. For real, for fun, for everyone, you're listening to Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour, gay radio show. Every Tuesday, 91.5 FM, streaming online and archived on our website, gayradioshow.com. Lots of stuff over there, lots of links to lots of things. And TuneIn Radio app is the app, the free download, the free app that we're streaming on. If you download TuneIn Radio, search WPRK, you can listen to us and the rest of the station anytime you want to. I'm your host, David Justice. This is episode number 353. And, you know, it's a rookie skeleton cast and crew here today. Very glad to have people here. It's our last live show before a two-week break. We'll have 2 weeks of best of. We'll talk about what's going on with that. I'll be out of the country. So going around, you're the fastest rising intern to ever be in the Adrian chair, handling the news later. Top Bun Alex, which you're not in the Top Bun. Do we still call you Top Bun, Top Knot Alex?
Or no, you call me the Queen of the Castle today because I am in the second chair.
It's a bad idea.
Hello, everybody.
Over there, my favorite trans Latino. Well, I'm the trans Latino. He's my favorite Latino brother, Nakovi Boom Boom.
Yes, how are you guys?
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, buddy.
And then, you know, I rarely do this, but, you know, Jose Blazadonis, a friend of the show, a great personal friend, just, you know, hounded me on Sunday and said, you have to have this guy on your show. He's funny. He's wonderful. Have him on your show. Have him on your show. And I said, you know what? I need people on the show today. So I don't know much else about him, but I think I love him. And so we have Craig here. How you doing, man?
I'm fabulous. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know what? You're amazing. And you just feel free to chime in here anytime during the show. And if you feel like you have something to say, and you're not getting your window, you just throw something at me, get my attention. I want to hear every delicious Disney filled word. Okay,
you got it. Absolutely.
So obviously it's the first episode of the month of November, so Halloween. Everyone survived Halloween?
Barely, but
going,
yep,
around the circle. What did you end up doing for Halloween, dude?
I actually went to a party in downtown Orlando. And
I heard downtown was sick. I heard it was like the Purge. Like, it was like The Walking Dead. Like, it was so many human beings in one place. I heard it was insane.
Yeah, I've never seen so much skin condensed into one sardine can. It was great. And then I went to an after party and watched the sunrise. So, like I said, I barely made it, but here I am today, a ghost.
Did you dress up as anything?
I was actually a man in black, and my best friend was a sexy alien.
Well, what makes up a sexy alien? What were you? What's a, you know? To sabe, sexy alien.
A sexy alien.
Not like someone that doesn't have papers, but.
Like, I need to see it for. Say something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sexy alien, I don't know.
Did you dress up as anything, Nakovi, for Halloween?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I told myself like an old woman with patines and like a weird makeup and wings and like a crazy and drunk.
like a sexy alien?
No, like a
extraterrestrial.
Something like this, yeah. And I have too much fun, like I go to Pulse and I'm really, really, really.
Pulse on Saturday, yeah. Was it crowded for Pulse?
I go Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
That wasn't Halloween, though. So what did you do for Halloween?
For Halloween, well, I'm working on Post.
Oh, okay.
So I go, like, with my 60s Superman underwear and hat, and I'm setting shot, working around.
Very nice.
I have fun, too.
Where were you at, Craig?
I was at the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot. It was the second day of my birthday weekend, so I put on my tiara, and I dressed up. Thank you. I dressed up as a birthday princess, and all the Disney daddies were looking at me, so it was a fun day.
She's a classy lady.
On Halloween at the Food and Wine Festival, do people dress up, or is it too classy of an event to do that?
No, I saw everybody was dressing up as either a Disney villain or a character. It was fantastic. And what I love that Epcot did is, on actual Halloween day, you could trick-or-treat around the world. So you would go to the country, and they'd give you a sample of candy from that actual country.
Oh, dope.
So
that actually sounds pretty cool.
It was. It was kind of neat just to sample the culture and everything and be able to watch people, you know, young and old, male, women, anybody.
See, I would, I would combine drinking around the world with the trick or treating. So by the time I'm to like what, Italy or France, I'd be belligerently drunk, demanding candy. You know, if they don't, like, I'm like finding a way to egg the people that don't give me more. I will be honest. For as much fun as I have in life, and I consider myself a somewhat creative person, I don't do well with Halloween costumes. I never have a good idea. I never think about it. I never execute it. The last 4 years, I've come up with whatever I've worn, you know, the day of, and it usually ends up being like Halloween yard decorations that I'll drape around my body, or, you know, a little bit of fake blood. This year was the worst one yet. You know, I ended up wearing cargo shorts and just my dad's old army jacket.
Love it.
It's bad. Like, so if anyone wants to help me next year, I'd like to actually come up with a decent costume 1 year, but I'm very, it's horrible. And I decided to go to the Spirit store, you know, the Spirit Halloween stores that set up, that pop up.
That'd be that place. That'd be that place.
We went to the Spirit store. Joey was down from the Panhandle. We went to the Spirit store on Halloween day and just said, hey, let's just walk around and look, and very quickly walked out. 45 minutes to an hour to check out at the Spirit store on Halloween day. I said, there's nothing in here that I want that badly. So I decided my costume was going to be as a gay radio talk show host, and I was just going to go hang out and have a good time.
There you go.
Yes.
We watched Scream Queens. Boom, boom. And then went to the third to last night at Halloween Horror Nights. Did you get to check it out this year?
I unfortunately didn't. I spent all my money on partying, so I never, like, you know what? I'm going to put away like a dollar or two to go to Halloween Horror Nights. It just never happened.
It set aside like 94 of those dollars.
Yes.
Yeah. A little secret. Have you ever ridden the Rip Ride Rocket Roller Coaster?
My favorite. My friends are terrified. I love it.
Do you know how to unlock the secret songs?
Yeah, you have to hold on to the logo.
I'm gonna explain it. What are you doing?
Sorry, Zach.
What are you doing? I introduce a topic to introduce the topic and tell it. So, Craig, have you ever heard about the secret songs?
I have not, and I know people that work there, and they haven't told me, so tell me.
Well, listen,
teach me your ways.
Maybe now I can, in a detailed way, inform the listeners so they can check it out, too.
Sounds
I love you, Alex. Good. So listen, if you go online and you do like a basic Google search and do, you know, hey, secret song search, and you look up, and it'll give you the list. And anywhere from like 000 to 999, there's everything on this song list. Everything from Christian rock to power metal to Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. They got the Muppets singing Rainbow Connection. They have R.E.M. They have, you know, they have like, what is it, Slayer. They have everything on here. Eminem, 8 Mile. And then, so you go on there. And Joey and I decided on a song to pick. We ended up riding the roller coaster twice because I guess his song wasn't working. His booth, his little seat wasn't working. So as we're getting off, he's like, I'm not satisfied. I didn't get there.
I'm riding again.
So they're like, go around the top and just go around there. So I had to let us listen to it twice. So you go on there. When you get on the Rip Ride Rocket roller coaster, you put your finger on the logo at the top. Everyone else has to listen to those same generic 20 songs that it's been for the last 10 years.
Right.
So you go on there. You click the little logo that says Rip Ride Rocket. You hold it down for 10 seconds. I count to 12 just to be safe. And then when you let go of your finger, it goes... And a keypad pops up, and if you remember what song number you want, you go bing, 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 and you hit enter, and so then that doesn't record your video. So if you want the video, your music video dealio, but I don't know anyone that really buys that. And then it plays you your own special song. So I learned the hard way, because I was trying to, you know, get into the music after doing it twice. It's very hard to Vogue on a roller coaster, because we rode Rip Ride Rocket to Vogue by Madonna.
Oh.
Because, you know.
Absolutely.
It's the song
you lost it to.
Absolutely.
What, the song I lost it to? What are you talking about?
Totally.
I was seven when that came out. If I lost it when I was seven, there'd have to be some severe psychotherapy to, you know, take care of, like, endangering a child if I lost it when I was seven. What are you saying, dude? What are you insinuating here?
I may have thought you were a lot. Never mind.
Shut up, Alex.
Okay.
If you were my boyfriend, I would break up with you in like a corn maze and just walk away.
Just walk away.
Just
don't
walk away.
Not doing the aisle.
Hmm?
Don't break with him in the aisle.
Don't break up with him in the aisle?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Honey, he's not taking me to no aisle. I'll tell you that.
He's looking for his hus bear and his otter half. He's
otter half. I've never heard that before.
I gotta give
save that and put it in
ripping that off for Atomic Adonis. You know, it's a makeshift show today. Everything's great with Atomic. He loves his new job. He's painting. He's working at a hair salon. Rob is doing Sleuth Mystery Science Dinner Theater, wherever he's at. Lady Barry Matthews is training for, you know, new job. Eric, the actor, is training for a new job. So everyone's doing good things. But I'm very thankful the three of you guys could come in and be a part of our little show today. And then Sunday, Rob Ward and then Lady Barry Matthews and I went to the annual endless shrimp competition at Red Lobster, but they're not here, so we'll hold off. I don't have the score sheet either, but we kept track of how many shrimp each person ate and what kind. So every time Rob ate a grilled shrimp, he got a little mark. And every time Lady Barry Matthews, ate a shrimp wonton, she got a little mark. And you get extra points for the biscuit challenge, and so we have this itemized list for.
I would devour the biscuit challenge.
Okay, but I don't want to be crazy about it either. But yeah, that's wild.
No,
dude.
Well, I'm saying it's part of just
Darden's never made you feel so competitive.
I
before
need to
in
know
your
what
life
this
before.
Biscuit challenge is. If it's the cheddar biscuits, Mama cheddar can devour biscuits? Some cheddar biscuits. She
and
loves them.
How many can you put back?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm willing to try. Let me know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a date.
I love
Let's
it.
Do it.
And you're a big boy. You embrace your big boy.
I embrace my big boy. You know what? Hey, it is what it is, and I love it.
Very
I
nice.
Embrace it.
Yes.
Very good job. And then Thursday night was the 7th or the 9th. I don't even know. It was Katana Gemini's bloodbath party.
Ooh, girl, that
I
was
am
a
so
fun
sad
time.
I missed that.
It was the bloodbath party this year hosted at Southern Nights. And so, I love it. I love the bloodbath party. We always do blood prep. So we had
wild. We had
Atomic and then Alex over there. And then Joey, and then another guy that's a dancer at the theme park. So we all got ready at our house. The bathroom upstairs at the Justice Cave looks absolutely like a scene out of Dexter. It's a murder scene. And so it was good. We did blood prep. Only after the blood started stinging our eyes and staining our skin did I finally read the bottle that I quickly picked up at the Party City. Evidently, we didn't get the
warning label.
The right one.
We didn't get the right blood. Certain blood is for makeup and costume purposes, put it in your mouth. And so, no, I evidently got the costume set that said this blood is perfect for large blood splatters over large areas.
For not putting on your skin, essentially.
Oh, lovely. Not
skin
friendly.
Oh, the bathroom is wrecked, dude.
The
grout.
Still?
The grout is stained.
Oh, no.
And then whatever splatter got in the ceiling, that stuff, that doesn't come out of stucco.
CSI immediately showed up after that.
I like it. So then we're looking at Halloween costumes. So the first thing I learned, let's do the three things that Justice learned this week. The first one may be Halloween related.
Three things that Justice learned this week. The three things he learned this week. Not one or two or four. It's the three things you learned this week. Yeah.
So the first thing I learned this week is, one, families with twins, with two twins, are always going to have the best Halloween costumes. I would submit for approval by the Midnight Society. My two twin nephews, little Ronan and Riker.
Oh my gosh, those are the two little kids
So those are my twin nephews and my brother and his wife, and they dressed up as, my little brother is in a Bowser outfit, his wife is Princess Peach, and then Ronan and Riker are Luigi and Mario. But then
that
to be
is adorable.
But yes. Then to be topped by my favorite gay couple, Neil Patrick Harris and David Burtka, they do a themed foursome Halloween every year. And this year, in commemoration of Star Wars, they did Obi-Wan and Han Solo, Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker, and then they include the montage of their other Halloween costumes with them as the Wizard of Oz characters.
They did Alice
in Wonderland. I want to be a part of that family.
I do too, and I have had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Neil Patrick Harris.
Where did you meet Neil Patrick Harris?
At Epcot, actually. I sing in the Candlelight Processional, and he comes and reads every year.
Oh my gosh, I was in the Candlelight Processional too.
He's incredible, and we're so happy to have him back this year. I was backstage getting ready for show, and door opens, and here comes Neil Patrick Harris.
Is he taller or shorter than you would think?
He's about what you would think, maybe a little taller than you would think. He is the sweetest guy. And, at Disney, you're not supposed to treat them. They're supposed to treat them like normal people, not like fangirl. And I was sweating in air conditioning. Oh my God, I'm right next to Neil Patrick Harris. And he was the sweetest guy. He hugged me and I didn't want to wash my clothes. I mean, he was the sweetest guy, and his partner and the kids are all out in the audience cheering him on, and just the nicest guy ever.
Wow.
I'm a total fan.
Was he just there, or was the hubby there?
The whole family. They actually do their annual Walt Disney World vacation around the Candlelight Processional. So they bring the whole gang and they stay at the resort and spend a week in the parks.
So I'm sure they love us out in their business. If you want to see Neil Patrick Harris, go to the Candlelight
Processional. Go to the Candlelight Processional.
Get there early. He's the most popular. They will line up hours before. But
that's
awesome. Incredible.
That's very cool. So then this award, technically the first thing I learned this week was I'm giving my 2015 Halloween Dad of the Year to, doesn't even say his name. His name is Will. Okay, the dad's name is Will. He's a sexy daddy. Evidently, he's gay.
And the wife's name's Greg?
He is, or he is not gay?
He's gay.
Oh, oh my gosh. Sexy daddy. Yes.
Okay, so this has to do with a proud dad sticking up for his 9-year-old son after receiving hate mail for his son, his 9-year-old son's costume of choice. His 9-year-old son wanted to dress up as the Disney villainess Cruella de Vil, and these pictures are pretty fierce. You know, like, this is like a full-on, this is like a drag queen job, paint job.
It is super drag, and it is super on point.
It's on point. You got the fur, got the long cigarette, the gloves, the pictures in the car. Looking pretty good.
That costume was out of my budget.
9 years old.
Oh, wow.
So they posted pictures, you know, so it's two dads, and they posted a picture of their son, Liam, and they started getting a lot of hate mail and comments of people saying, that's just inappropriate. I can't believe a parent would do that to your child. I'm sorry if I offend you. I think that's wrong.
Oh, my God.
And he's going, yo, listen, like, you know that we're gay, and it has nothing to do with it. And our kid, and the dad goes, yo, our son doesn't identify. I didn't say yo. I said yo. But our son doesn't identify as transgender or gay. He just likes dressing up. He's more interested in the creative process and the eccentricity of the outfit. You know, and I don't care. So he's not impersonating a female. And even if he was, I would still love him and I wouldn't care anyway. Way to go. Way to go, 9-year-old dad. And like I said, it helps that the dad is sexy. It helps that the costume was awesome. And this is just a kid that wanted to
do his own thing.
He said, I'm not asking for acceptance or applause from other parents. I fully understand that many may have an issue with this. I'm just perplexed by other parents' criticism. So that goes the Halloween daddy of the year. Speaking of monsters that are striking out and doing their own thing, Nakobe, okay, we have to word this very carefully. Nakobe.
Yes.
Tu sabes. dang it.
Too many Spanish.
Do you know what a glory hole is?
A
glory hole.
The Gloria.
The Gloria hole?
The Gloria.
It's a hole you look through and you see Gloria Estefan. The Gloria!
You know what?
Just for the purpose of this.
It's a portal to heaven. You look through it and it's a portal to heaven. You see the glory.
Or you might just get poked in the
glory. Okay, let's
see the glory.
Let's just call it, for the purposes of this story, let's just call it the Gloria hole. Okay, so a small town is on edge after a persistent Gloria hole driller has struck again.
But how could Gloria Estefan be in two places at once?
Oh my.
No, hold on. Nakobe, a glory hole is when there's in the bathroom and you put a hole and you put your penis through the hole and you glah, 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 glah through the hole.
Oh, really?
Okay. We're back on the air. Don't talk about it no more.
Duh.
Okay, so now he knows, and knowing is half the battle. Thank you. Okay, so residents of the city of Vero Beach, population 15,749, are on edge after a persistent Gloria hole driller has begun striking their public restrooms at random. Police are on the hunt for a person responsible for drilling several Gloria holes in various public restrooms around the quiet Florida town. The most recent discovered by the municipal employee named Brad Dusim. He contacted authorities last Friday around 9 a.m. saying that he had discovered yet another Gloria hole had been installed in the men's restroom at Treasure Shores in Vero Beach, saying, yeah, I found a circular hole drilled into the divider wall separating the urinals from the toilets. He's frustrated because he already had to patch up a similar hole once, so this has worked for this guy. He goes, based on the location of where the hole was drilled, it's commonly used for, they explain what the Gloria hole is. So unfortunately, police do not have any suspects or leads in the case. As a result, it has been listed as an inactive case. The bathroom, however, might be a little bit more than inactive. So if you have any news or information about this horrible, horrible Batman villain.
It's the hunt of the great hole puncher.
It was like, this is a Batman villain gone wrong. It's like, it's the driller.
It's the driller.
Holy Gloria hole, Batman!
It'll boost the excitement in Vero Beach. I was at Vero Beach. It's not that exciting. I mean, the beach is pretty, but
the conga
after
line
like
has
8 o'clock,
in so many bathrooms at one
down.
Time at the same time. Yeah.
Hold on, I couldn't hear what you were saying. I think because you were saying, what were you saying?
No, I was saying after 8 o'clock the town shuts down. I mean, this will boost a little bit more excitement. You know?
Exactly. I think that's a great idea. I'm sorry, I'm doing bad radio. I'm off the mic when I'm doing this. This isn't one of the three things I learned this week, but let's see. I don't necessarily identify with this day, but it's the day before Halloween, and well, you know, which we consider, you know, a national gay holiday. Halloween Eve, October 30th. Do you know what, Alex, do you know why someone should send you red roses on October 30th?
I don't know. No, not really. I'm going to go with boy in the striped pajamas.
How do you treat your rosebud?
Oh, really?
Okay, so listen, October 30th.
My birthday.
October 30th is your birthday?
Yes. That's why I should deserve roses.
Well, then, you know what, Craig? I'm really happy to tell you that you share the same day as National Power Bottom Appreciation Day, according to Wikipedia.
Yes. Okay. All right.
That's fine.
Power Bottom Appreciation. Night.
Yay, we get a holiday.
Do you celebrate Power Bottom Appreciation Day? Power Bottom Appreciation Day first originated in the 1980s by, quote, snickering gay men at cocaine-fueled pampered chef parties. The men,
sounds so New York.
The men would allegedly gather to write down the names of all the gentlemen whose company they had enjoyed over the last year and then light a candle in honor of each one.
Oh, I wonder how many people like candles in my name.
So rosebuds have come to represent National Power Bottom Appreciation Day. There are several other, you know, LGBTQ, LMNOP holidays. Some of them real, some imaginary, you know, but we're not going to go through the list of them. I just thought it was clever.
I learned something new today that I share in a historic day in the LGBT community. Oh. I do.
So Craig, of course that's special. Your birthday. How old are you, man? How old are you?
I just turned 24.
You're 24? You look absolutely beautiful. You look perfect.
Oh, thank you.
So then going...
You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's feeling, you know, 22.
Well, when a beautiful man tells you that, it flatters me every time. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I'm going...
Young and beautiful.
So what now?
Young and beautiful.
He is young and beautiful. Yes. So I'm going down to Argentina next week. We'll have two best of shows. The best of shows are going to be cool. I know people might hear me say, oh, we're playing a best of, and they don't want to tune in. But you really should. This is going to be a time capsule in the history of the show, because for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be playing the first appearances of all of your favorite Outlier Lando, the Homo Happy Hour members and guests throughout the years. Now, the one rule was it has to be a returning member that's been on at least 5 shows, because, you know, we've had a lot of people that have come and gone, you know, they made little appearances. So, you know, the obvious names are there, and I was trying to think of, I just want to make sure I didn't not include anybody, because the best of shows are going to include snippets and maybe even some commentary from those folks. It's going to be, you know, so who should we get? We definitely need to include, Rob will be the oldest.
Yeah.
Rob Ward, so we got Rob on the list.
Adrian, Mr. Miss Adrian.
Mr. Miss Adrian, yeah, she showed up around,
love
you know,
her.
She's been on for a couple years. Atomic made an appearance way back in, you know, I think he was in episode 113, 114.
James the Quiet Intern.
Oh, we got to get James the Quiet, you know, thank you. I would have forgotten about James because he's so quiet. I forget about him oftentimes. and then
Justin Wild.
If there's time, I'll include Justin Wild. Justin Wild was on the show, but that was a complicated situation because he was my roommate. I was also in love with him at the time, and he also didn't really want to do the show. He was doing his cam shows while we were doing the show. So most of Justin's interaction on the radio show was Justin typing and doing a cam show, laughing, and then pretending to be interested in something that was said because he wasn't paying attention. So I don't know if there's, like, it's not the best radio. No, wait. His best of, his first appearance was... Atomic and I did, we recorded while he did a cam show at the house. It was an uncensored podcast broadcast. Now, looking back in hindsight, was this really just an excuse to get Justin Wild at my house to do a cam show and maybe get a little naked? Maybe, maybe not. Who's to know? Only history can tell. But that audio could be relevant. I think Lady Barry Matthews, we got to get her on because she's been on.
Oh, absolutely.
And even though she's been on the show more recently, she made an appearance, I think, well over a year ago. So who else is on the show?
How many other queen? What's your favorite queen you've had on the show? That's
Chris Mystery is the name.
Chris E. Mystery, that'd be good. But Josh Roth, he needs to be on there. He's been on several times. Who else? Alex,
I can't really remember all of like the regular gays you had on the show. I can only remember when you got a queen on because you know you only remember personalities.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about who else would be good. Kids, the thing is, I have to go through the archives. So this is literally going to be. You know, I'm scrapbooking my own show because at this point, I used to remember what every show was about, and then I just kind of stopped caring. So now I really have to go through and read the description of each podcast to remember when these things happened. Right. We could do the first appearance of Nakovi. Nakovi, I think you would be on there. That'd be good.
What is the most craziest thing you've ever had on the show though? Like the most out loud Orlando-ish thing like that there's no way you could not include it into the best of Out Loud Orlando.
Well, but that stuff's already been included. Like, okay, it would be the infamous tranny freakout of 2009. it would have been like, let's see, we started in May. This is May, January, March, May, June, July.
You've heard of Chernobyl. This is just the half.
It was less than 7 months after we started. And Trilogy Sapphire, Monroe St. James, Kelly Couture, whatever the heck her name was, she had a meltdown on the air, like melted down on the air, threatened to quit. She's screaming, she's crying. She starts saying things that she's done and might be doing and things that she, and I'm like trying to stop her while we're on the air because if she leaves, we don't have a show. And so I had to chastise her. She's freaking out. Homo Diego Gogo, the intern, he's like screaming, losing his mind. He's trying to like start a coup and revolt against the radio show. Like, so yeah, that's been that's the moment.
It was the strike. It was the strike.
Well, no, you know the outro of the song. That's her. I'm ruined on the air. You made me look like a fucking idiot. Like, that's her. Like, that's the first clip we play and the outro of the show. So, no, so if you have your favorite, make sure you follow us on Twitter. At Gay Radio Show during the show. And if you want to post your favorite moments that we can include in the best of, that's Twitter. At Gay Radio Show. Do hashtag Gay Radio Show. Also be sure to give us a call, 407-646-2915. And you can check out everything else we're doing online on gayradioshow.com.
This is my part.
Oh, sorry.
You guys just became the Spice Girls in like a second.
I love it. GayRadioShow.com. Thank you very much. Nakovi made it over to my house on Sunday night after Parliament House. Ooh. With who was with Victor? Victor was with
Victor Yachi.
Yeah, we had a good time. That was when we
Netflix and chill.
No, it was not Netflix and chill.
It was Gloria Hall and chill. We
No. That's my brother. We took a photo shoot. We did a photo shoot to encourage young Latino youth to read more books.
Yeah, you can find the picture on my Facebook, Nakobe Boom Boom.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you will find boom, him boom, reading, you know, a book.
Boom, boom boom, yeah.
So when I'm going down to Argentina, Nakobe, do you know much about South American culture? Do you know many Argentinians?
The only place Argentina visited is an Epcot, like a, you know?
Oh, the Disney-ified version?
Yes. Oh. Yes.
I don't think I can gauge my experience climbing the Patagonian mountains of Argentina by going to Epcot. I'm asking, have you never been to Argentina?
No.
Do you know anyone from Argentina?
I know somebody, but I don't know about him for that well. So
I mean, I was trying to do a search and just see, you know, how is this like on the scale of one to very homophobic? You know, where?
Oh no, it's absolutely okay. Let me tell you a little something about Argentina. Argentina, unlike most countries in South America, is actually super. Everyone's blonde-haired, blue-eyed, super, super duper liberal. So yeah, you're basically getting all of these people from Europe. Actually, a lot of people in Argentina speak German.
Aren't they all Nazis?
Essentially, I just didn't want to say it.
So no offense.
I didn't want to ruin the image.
So no offense, the Argentinians are cool, but the Nazis...
Hey, who says... Never mind, I'm not even gonna...
When did Nazis get pro-gay?
When did... I mean it... Oh, yeah, so we were a persecuted class as well, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Hey. Just because, you know, people from Australia, their parents were criminals, doesn't mean everyone in Australia is a criminal.
You're frickin' Connie.
True.
Oh, man. So we're going to be doing that trip. I'm excited for it. I have done no preparation. The only real thing that might happen is after the first day of 6 mile hiking with this, you know, 50-pound pack in my back that I haven't even walked around in like a mile. I haven't even walked around a mile yet in this giant pack that I'm supposed to take and carry for 6 to 8 miles a day for 5 days in a row. So the only thing I'm going, my body may just die. Like, my body really may just say, screw it. I'm out. I quit. I want to believe the spirit is willing. I want to believe that my determination is enough to get me through. This is going to be the ultimate test.
Hey, if you need a helping hand, I am glad to go.
It's definitely going to be introspective.
I can go in the back here. Sure.
I'll be sure to give you a piggyback ride if, you know, if you get tired, so we'll be fine.
There you go.
So Argentina, I want to go down. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I will miss everyone. I cannot remember the last time I was unplugged for 2 weeks. No radio show, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter, just literally disconnected.
None of you were posting your past life like every single day on Facebook. Look at what I did 3 years ago.
It's nice to disconnect every once in a while.
I need that. I need that more. I think I need that now more than ever. And, you know, this is my cathartic trip. You know, the way I view it is I got diagnosed with, and, you know, my anniversary of diagnosis is coming up in, what is it, the third? It's coming up in 6 days. You know, so I got diagnosed with cancer last November. You know, I had my year from hell fighting that, beating it. And so this November, I'm going to conquer a mountain. You know, I want to scream from the tallest mountain into the biggest crevasse shout that I survived and realize, you know, life is too serious to be taken seriously. Yes. And I'm still here. And, you know, despite...
Bring the bells out.
Just do it.
Can't take any bells. Yeah, everything you're carrying is on my back. I can't even take anything. That's Rocky.
Who call me Mickey.
That's exactly how you're gonna sound like when you get to the top of that mountain.
No. This is the one. Okay, so this is something interesting that I saw. This is like an underrepresented story. And the only reason it caught my attention was because, again, looking back at the show's history, way back on episode 191, two of our first guests that we had that were representing, you know, the more mature, older gay population were these partners, John and Rich. You know, Rich has since passed away. I know them from Crazy John's Karaoke at Parliament House. They're a couple that had been together for 32 years.
Wow,
and
awesome.
They came on the air. And they were sharing their story of just their relationship, their love, how they met, what it was like to be a gay couple in like the 80s and the 90s. Like just right. Stories that I was trying to like tap that. I was trying to try to tap that.
Tap that market? You were just trying to tap the demo.
Market penetration.
Oh, God.
Market penetration.
Very nice. Good job. Okay. And so they were telling the story of how they had solidified their relationship. Because this was, you know, this was even them being on the show was still years before marriage equality was nationwide.
Absolutely.
And this was the first time I'd heard the story of what older gay couples did a lot of times in the mid-20th century to have rights, even because they couldn't get wed.
Right.
You know, some states didn't have civil unions. They would adopt one another. They would have grown adoptions where one partner would legally adopt the other, so you could still have the rights of inheritance,
what?
Hospitalization. So Rich and John were like, yeah, he adopted me 32 years ago. And
really?
And so here's the problem now. Now, this is affecting numerous same-sex couples because they're not able to attain annulments where they adopted one another in the days before marriage equality. So what this, I'm going to read this, it says, adoption was offering legal protections for same-sex partners when it came to matters like hospital visitation and inheritance laws. But now with marriage equality, some couples in this situation are finding it difficult to annul their adoptions so they can legally wed. So they can't get unadopted to get legally wed, but you can't get legally wed because that would, they cannot marry because that would be considered incest.
Yeah,
and
they'd
be guilty of a crime and face up to 10 years in jail.
Oh.
And the only time a judge will annul an adoption is in cases of fraud or reversing them in instances where all other adoptions would be placed in jeopardy. So the senior senator from Pennsylvania, Bob Casey, is trying to, you know, right this wrong and talk to, you know, his state attorney general and
right.
say, hey, what's the loophole? You know, can we somehow acknowledge that this was obviously grandfathered in and done for a specific purpose and that now these rights are afforded, you know, that now an older generation's rights are now being affected because they can't get legally married because they legally adopted one another.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that song.
I just want to marry my son.
I'm my own grandpa.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I think that's cool.
Sorry for this guy.
Well, no, I think it's cool that they had that loophole back in the day. I don't think it's cool now that, you know, they're stuck in kind of like a legal quandary where...
No, that's not cool at all.
The mess that they... You know, not the mess, but the situation that they created is now preventing them from going any further. All right, Alex, I hope I don't live to regret this because Alex is doing the news.
Woo-woo!
Normally someone is on the show for months and months and months before they do the news. Alex just happens to be here. So.
All right, let's do the thing.
Now, what am I playing for your news here? Because we're trying to play up your whole... Your shirt says what? As seen on LSD...
So, yeah, just play something, you know, according to that.
I pulled up the song you wanted me to. I had no idea what to pull for you.
All right, let's do this. Let's do the news. Alrighty, guys. So, Caitlyn Jenner has been named one of Glamour's Women of the Year in her first year living publicly as a female. She was revealed as an honoree today alongside Victoria Beckham, Misty Copeland, Elizabeth Holmes, Cecile Richards, Reese Witherspoon, the Women of Charleston, and the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. Jenner will receive the honor on November 9th at Glamour's 25th Anniversary Women of the Year Awards at Carnegie Hall in New York City. She was nominated by Alex Schmider of Los Angeles LGBT Center, who wrote, Caitlyn Jenner is a woman of the year because she made the decision to transition publicly. An innovator, so that in the future, kids don't have to wait until they're 65 to discover who they are. 17 million people watched her vulnerable Diane Sawyer interview, which she explained her lifelong struggle to make sense of her gender identity, stopping the tabloid gossip overnight and most important for Jenner, stealing her family support. Caitlyn Jenner said of coming out as...
Wait, you have to do a Caitlyn Jenner voice.
I'm about to. Wait, we're getting there. I've been waiting the entire story to get to this point. Caitlyn Jenner said of coming out as trans and speaking out for LGBT rights, I started thinking maybe this is why God put me on Earth. So yeah, there's that. Caitlyn Jenner, speaker of the trans, and her new...
Is there some requirement for being Woman of the Year? Like, should you be a woman for a certain amount of time before you're Woman of the Year?
You have to go down on Candace Cain.
I have a question.
I just think...
Alex!
He got it.
We think not so. Yet. We don't know.
No, yeah.
We don't... No, it's not public yet.
No, wait, think about it. If a girl was just born and she were 1 year old, she would be a girl, not a woman. We don't award Woman of the Year to a 1 year old girl.
What if, like, she wasn't a girl, but not yet a woman?
Shut up. Stop talking. So what I'm getting at is, I mean, yeah, she's doing good things, but has she paid her dues for being a woman yet? Like, has she been a woman long enough to win an award?
I just think, like, I feel like her entire transition, like, she has bought to become herself. She has gotten to where she is today because she has a lot of money. She can get whatever surgery she wants, whenever she wants. She can avoid whoever she wants. Like, she can basically
live. She has designers making great clothes.
In her own trend. Yeah, exactly.
Vanity Fair.
Love it.
So, yeah. So, moving on. In local news, Parliament House gets new $3.9 million loan from a Miami lender. Wow, he must have had a great old time that night. A Miami lender known for hard money loans to hotels has agreed to refinance a loan for Parliament House Resort on Orlando's west side. It's the West Hollywood of Orlando. The loan of $3.9 million puts the resort on the most solid financial footing it has seen in a decade. The gay-themed resort marked its 40th anniversary recently. The new loan is expected to close on Tuesday. An owner of the new lender, Ron Simpkins of Miami-based Lion Financial, confirmed the new loan. I believe Parliament House is on the path to financial discipline and financial success by getting past the bankruptcy and the trouble they had with previous lenders.
Who is this person, and when did Gone with the Wind adopt the Parliament House?
Oh, Ron Simpkins. Simpkins said on Monday. But he also said the new loan for Parliament House is based mostly on the value of the real estate and the business. If you haven't been, it's on a beautiful lakefront.
Probably sounds more like South Floridian or Spanish or maybe Jewish or something.
Hey, nobody by the last name of Simpkins is Hispanic. So it's more like, I believe Parliament House is on the path to financial discipline and financial success. Parliament House's ownership company, Parliament Partners LLC, owns about 4.5 acres on Orlando's west side, which has seen new attention recently because of plans for Creative Village.
I've checked out. I'm on Grindr right now.
Construction of Orlando City Soccer Stadium and other development. Parliament House emerged from a bankruptcy in February with a period of time to refinance millions, he puts his pinky up to his mouth, in debts that multiplied during the Great Recession, is what it describes it as. The Great Recession, back in 2012. All right, and finally in the news, openly gay mayor Jim Gray denies being involved with the KKK and calls accusations ridiculous. The hacktivist group Anonymous unhooded several prominent U.S. senators and mayors who it claims are members of the KKK. One of the alleged white knights is none other than the openly gay Democratic mayor of Lexington, Kentucky, Jim Gray. 62-year-old Gray came out publicly in 2005 while running for vice mayor of Lexington. In 2010, he became the city's first openly gay mayor, and in 2014, he was reelected for a second term. A spokeswoman for Gray's office...
He's actually doing a good job. I gotta give credit where credit is due. He's actually doing a good job with the news. He's reading fast. He has enthusiasm. I don't regret this. I just want you to know, I don't regret. I mean, I'm still on Grindr, but I don't regret this.
I used to be an announcement person in high school. A spokeswoman for Gray's office told the Lexington Herald Leader they are at a total loss as to how the mayor's name ended up on the list. Supporters of Gray were quick to come to his defense. I've known Mayor Gray and his family all my life, Rita Reihard wrote on Facebook. This is absolutely the most ridiculous accusation. And that is the news.
What we've learned from this news is that Alex secretly wants to be a Southern woman.
I do.
Not just a Southern woman, a Southern belle.
Now, Nicole, this is where... Is that your news?
Yes, all I'll right. Have a mint julep now, please.
This is where now I look at Nicovi and I say, Nicovi, tell me what those stories were just about.
I would like a 2-page summary, sir.
Yeah.
What you just read.
What was he talking
about? I know talking about the Parliament House.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you know about the shindig that Parliament House was in, though? Did you know that they were like a
bad I listened something about that and for Facebook and everything, but really, really. And
do you still dance at Parliament House or no?
Sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when? Sometimes.
Sundays.
I come see you. You have to do what I tell you to.
You
if
better
I get
make
money.
A rain.
I just you better make it like, rain. How did Parliament House get into that topsy-turvy situation? Like, I feel like every time I go to Parliament House, it's like sardine almost. And
from what I understand, we couldn't go into the entire article about the whole backstory. From what I understand, it has to do with standard mortgages from lenders and then collections. And then you look at everything that was going on with the economy, and I think some of the lenders were experiencing trouble when the economy went to the toilet, you know, from 2008 to 2010. So it was kind of some backlash from that, some reorganization to come back, dealing with lenders that, you know, weren't working or were maybe, you know, trying to call forth, you know, debts sooner than they were expected. So, but I think this is a pretty good, this is a pretty good foothold for Parliament House to, you know. But like I said, it's amazing. If you were there on Saturday night, I tell you what, man. Downtown Orlando, I heard it was crazy. That's amazing. But I when there's that many people, I really do get afraid of, like, zombie outbreak. Like, if there's one person infected, we're all dead. Downtown Orlando is just like a hodgepodge. And you don't want zombies breaking out on Halloween. Because then you have The Walking Dead all dressed up as the stupidest crap. And we have zombies eating other people. And you're like, oh, hey, it's a funny Where's Waldo? And he's biting your face off. Hey, we don't need that in this world. So, Parliament House. Yeah, there was a cover. But, everyone is in a costume except me, and the best costumes. They had like a $10,000 Halloween costume contest.
I heard Cecil's Revenge won that. I saw a picture on Facebook, and it was on point.
Get this, dude, the costume that won. I didn't see it. I may have had a love connection. So the
he
costume.
Went to the Gloria hole.
The Gloria. He's
no,
seen the Gloria.
No, now you're going to make me have to talk about it so I can be like respectful to the situation. But I'll get into that later. So the costume that may have that won was Cecil's Revenge, where they made a costume that was a lion driving a Jeep with a dentist that killed Cecil the Lion, like killed and strapped over like the front of the Jeep. So it was like, so Cecil the Lion killed the dentist and is driving the Jeep, you know, taking his trophy home.
It was
so
sickening.
Basically, if you went to Spirit Halloween, that wasn't enough to make it past the $10,000 Halloween contest.
No.
You had to have been planning this a year in advance.
This was months upon months of preparation.
Well, no, but think about it. When it's like $10,000 prize, you know, like some people make this their job every year to go, yo, what can I make? I will invest $300 or $400 or $500 to win
$10,000 back?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And a lot of these folks make the rounds. They go around and they pinpoint which costume contests throughout the month have the highest prize value. And I've heard of, there have been costumes in the past that have won multiple awards.
Titles.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. We'll win this year's in Parliament House. Hocus Pocus again?
No, that was last year. Yeah, Hocus Pocus
every time win Hocus Pocus.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, like when Hocus Pocus is there, like a win.
Can you
win.
Say that again, please?
Hocus Pocus?
Every time. Cada vez, every time.
Todo el tiempo.
So, you know what? I did have a fun connection at Parliament House, and it wasn't like a boom, snap, clap type moment. Far be it from it. It was a classy moment.
I know. Okay, talk about it.
No, it was a classy moment. I got to, you know, my friend Stash and his boyfriend were down from Virginia. They come down every Halloween, and they brought some friends with them. And when I got there, Stash just said, you need to talk to this guy. You're going to love him. And I think I do. You know, and we started talking. And the thing that I think united us immediately was he had the exact same type of cancer that I had.
Oh, wow.
You know, so we're like comparing scars. We're actually having like having heartfelt conversations about what it was like, you know. So he went through his whole ordeal and finished treatment around like September 2014. I got diagnosed and started mine November, December 2014. So,
wow.
I tell you what, when you meet someone, just in general, this is just one of those life lessons. I'm glad that sometimes I'm able to put down the thrill of the chase and to not be so consumed with the idea of being DJ Justice and partying and everything else, to actually have a solid connection with someone mm-hmm. who brings a smile to my face, who is not easy and is not going to give it up. And I think that, you know what, is this part of me growing up and realizing there's more to life than just, you know, the 30 minutes of glory, Gloria Hole? And so, you know what, I'm getting way too sappy and talking about my personal life way too much on the air, but it was
and
it
then
was
the
a,
night
but
was it's a over thing. And he returned to his
when
usual
you
self.
A person like that yeah. on a level, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
When you meet someone once and you want to make a point to, you know, make sure you get up early in the morning so you can say goodbye to them again before they leave
and
to head back to Virginia.
And you meet someone and you kind of feel like, where have you been? Like, I've known you before. I don't know where, but I've known you. You have a connection. It's
I don't know where.
Thing.
I don't know how.
But I know something's starting right now. Absolutely. Yeah, it's magic. It is.
It is.
It really is.
It is with it happening to two people because sometimes I see somebody and say, oh my God, I have a connection. And he walk in and leave.
Have you ever been in love, Nakovi?
Yes. I'm a lover boy.
I think Nakovi. Nakovi would be the best boyfriend. I've seen Nakovi. Nakovi is so sweet. If you were Nakovi's boyfriend, we should do that. We should do a dating game and find Nakovi a boyfriend.
Okay.
What qualities do you want? Like what do you want?
I have a lot quality. Like
well, like give me your top five, your top four or five. So when I'm looking for contestants for the Nakovi dating game, what should I look for?
Okay.
It could be personality. It could be look. Whatever.
We're talking about personality because it's the thing more I like it, like about me. No, the personality, I don't want to say that. I can say that in Spanish on YouTube's level.
Okay, I will be.
You speak Spanish?
Okay, you didn't know that?
Él habla también español.
También. Okay. Los latinos están aquí hoy.
No,
este
es latino aquí.
Eres 3-1, mijo.
¿Tú no sabías eso, papi?
Tres princesas.
¿Y ahora qué
en la misma
haces?
Fila.
Okay, hocus pocus.
Que te vayas, papá.
Can you just give me the information? Go!
So what do you
bueno, look? Yo soy cariñoso.
Aww, he's so sweet and nice, cuddly.
Sweet, respetuoso.
He's respectful.
Amoroso.
You can take him home
sobre
to
todo,
mama.
Sobre todo fiel, ¿verdad?
Oh, he's definitely like, he won't
pero
cheat on you.
Soy así cuando soy correspondido.
No, no, I know that about Nakovi, I'm saying. But what does
really
Nakovi look for in the guy?
What do you want? What do you want?
Like, when I interview guys.
I like a white guy, not dirty girl. I don't know.
I'm
looking more like
a
personality.
Too.
Yeah, I like a white guy. Yeah. Like
nice.
I look at more personality.
We're like Sofia Vergara's.
And I like my Latino boys. Come on, Nakovi.
You can be my Latino boyfriend.
Ay, qué rico.
Let's do that talking about later, baby. Yeah, take my number.
So you gotta be white. What else?
Huh?
That's it.
Just white.
Yeah,
so
no,
any
no,
white
no,
guy.
No,
you're Latino,
with,
too?
I'm Italian and Puerto Rican, so I'm a mutt.
You're Puerto Rican?
Yeah, a little
oh
bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Papi, Puerto Rico en la casa.
La casa,
hey. In the house.
Welcome to Orlando.
So, huepa.
I am trans-Latino. I do love Puerto Ricans. I, you know.
Yeah.
Coming to Logo on January, The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
Oye, me gusta cuando hablamos español.
¿Cómo se dice bachelor en español?
Bachelor?
I just call it by the name because it's a TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like proper names you just call in English.
Especially Puerto Ricans will be quick to call something by its English name.
Do not ask for proper Spanish from me because I'm a New Yorker.
From a Puerto Rican
and that's
period.
Just like we call everything.
I just pulled this news story up. We talked about this on the air. Do you know who Luca Magnotta is? He's a Canadian gay porn star.
What about it?
Oh.
Well, several years ago, he's currently serving a life sentence for murdering, dismembering, and eating his lover back in 2012. I saw the video.
My God.
I didn't hear that.
This is one of those darker parts of the internet. I went to it and I found the video.
There's a video?
Yeah, he videoed himself doing it and dismembering and like eating and then like manipulating and while 1980s music like Frankie Goes to Hollywood plays in the background. And so then he mailed the body parts to different people like Canadian governmental officials.
wow, that's definitely that's not a quality the porn I'm not star looking story for that I heard.
I don't want to be dismembered and disseminated. That would be bad.
Okay, so the headline reads, Cannibal killer Luca Magnotta is absolutely loving life in prison, as suggested by some of his love letters, or letters that have been released. The Montreal Gazette received the letters saying that he's bragging about pizza parties with inmates, all this chocolate for Valentine's Day ruining my diet. The food here is really good. They serve it a lot. The Italian is the best. I also love ice cream. He writes to a friend, I hope you'll make it in July for a cottage. You know, I don't know. I think he might just be crazy.
Are we on a cruise like or are we in a penitentiary here?
Magnotta admitted to videotaping himself butchering and eating his boyfriend, Lynn, who he met through Craigslist, seeking a male bondage partner, then uploading the video to the internet before cutting him up into little pieces and mailing his severed limbs to Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper and two elementary schools. The headless torso was discussed. So they're talking, I'm really enjoying playing hockey and tennis and I've lost a lot of weight. I'm looking forward to next month when volleyball nets will be put up. I've always been an amazing player. We have a nice gym for exercising. It's really important to get the results I want. I spend 2 hours playing sports, 1 hour exercise, and I go for a walk in the garden. The lilacs are my favorite. Okay.
This sounds like a Four Seasons medical spa.
No, I think he's crazy, dude. I don't really think, I mean, or is that how Canadian prisons are? If you're going to commit a crime, go to Canada.
Right.
Like, is that how Canadian
prisons are? There's going to be volleyball and ice cream and Italian food, it sounds like. And I don't got to pay no rent.
Can have our Italian food, and then we can end the night walking in the garden.
And smell the lilacs.
And smell the lilacs.
And being power bottoms of the block.
the fragrant gardenia bush. I mean.
See, if he had any sense of humor, he would have been like, my favorite meal is the Chinese. Because the guy he killed in it was Chinese.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he?
Well, what was his name? Lin? I saw the video. Jun Lin. Yeah, that's Lin. Asian.
Jesus.
He was like, I love the Asian buffet.
Pay one price, all you can eat.
Another story, you know, I'll just kind of summarize the story, but see if anyone else has a story that would, you know, run parallel to this. I know that I don't. I tried to think about one. A guy spoke up and shared his story about when he went home to visit family. He was on Scruff. And all of a sudden got hit up by someone asking to fool around. The guy says, oh, wait, you know me? He's like, oh, really? Do I know you? And he goes, well, I don't think you like me. Oh, he's like, oh, really? Sends a picture. Turns out it's his former bully from high school that was, you know, tormented him.
Wow.
So a guy's homophobic childhood bully hits him up on Scruff and asks if he wants to fool around or not. And he says, you know, he absolutely would not entertain the thought. He hung up on him. It just kind of laughed at the, you know, the hypocrisy of it. Have you ever had anything like that?
I've got a story. It wasn't my child school bully, but I know, and I'm not going to disclose where I went to high school, but the quarterback of my, matched just recently with the quarterback of my high school football team. Like we graduated in the same class, and yeah, he was on Tinder, and I, just out of curiosity, because I'm not really attracted to him because I'm not, but I just, you know, I swiped left, see what would happen, and then bam, it's a match. And I'm like, oh, I cringed a little bit, and then I laughed a little bit. So yeah, that was that. Anybody else?
Wow.
Did you get bullied for being gay in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Tell me.
It's horrible. Like Puerto Rico in the school.
It's bad.
When, yeah.
What'd they call you?
Pato.
Maricón?
No, I'm talking about pato, like the people, the ignorant guys.
Well, everybody calls everybody a maricón.
But now it's much better. You can be, you have more freedom in Puerto Rico.
Because
you
Ricky Martin came out. I think that changed, that changed the dynamic of the Puerto Rican. I really do, because he came out, think, because I have family that I know in Puerto Rico, and I think that changed the dynamic of the LGBT acceptance on the island. I really think that was a pivotal moment.
Yes. It's more the old people, like, are not accepted, the Christian guys, but in the school now it's more, like, acceptable, you know?
Yeah, it's tolerant.
Except okay,
I was asking...
He wanna wear, like, a woman to the school, he can, you know?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was asking Nakovi, I was asking him, you know, in Puerto Rico, you know, because I consider Nakovi, you know, pretty masculine, but by Puerto Rican standards, you know, would he be considered masculine or
definitely
more
masculine.
Feminine?
If you've never seen, honey, a feminine Puerto Rican. Like, weren't you who told me that, like, Puerto Rican drag queens are renowned for being, like, the most girliest and most, like, almost, like, to looking like a female as you can?
Queen Bee Ho?
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of, like,
feminine Puerto Rican guys are extremely extreme. They're like on the verge of being a girl without being a girl, essentially.
Yeah, but it's more masculine guys like a feminine.
Yeah.
Do you have any past bullies? What was your past like? I don't know about your upbringing.
Oh yeah, my past. I was extremely lucky. I came out to my family and I was accepted. I come from New York, so it was nothing, and the city of New York, so it was nothing to see two guys holding hands.
Right.
You know, it was a city, I came from a liberal background, so I really have not had any bullies, and I consider myself extremely lucky. I know friends that have been bullied, and it's terrible. I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but personally, I think that I've been very lucky. Even down here in Orlando, nothing really. Yeah. I mean, I found my niche. I started working for Disney, and then, I mean, that's just a family in and of itself. And in high school and family now, it's been smooth sailing, and I thank God for that.
Well, very awesome. Yeah.
In Puerto Rico, the bullying is coming more with the people not accept. You're like, you say, oh, you're gay. No, I'm not gay, and I'm look like a little bit feminine, and I say, no, I'm not gay. So I started the bullying. You know, I'm gay because you say I'm gay, and what's up? Some problem? The people stop, not say anymore.
Yeah. And I think the root of it all is, they're afraid of what they don't know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I had an aunt that she didn't bully me in any means. She accepted me, but she always asked me questions. She wanted to know
about... She was prying you.
Yeah, she wanted to know about the license. Like, she wanted to know. And, like, you know, it's just they're afraid of what they don't know. And when it's like, okay, I'm the same person as you, you know, you prick me, I'm going to bleed. You tickle me, I'm going to laugh, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that universal concept, you know? We are people.
As our outro music starts to play, unlike my father, who found the very subtle way he was interested for a period of time in the kind of guys I was interested in or attracted to, so he used reality TV as a gauge. So he'd call me up and go, hey, did you watch this week's episode of Big Brother? I'd be like, yeah, what do you think of Will? And I'd be like, well, I don't know, Dad. He's got really long hair. He's kind of, you know, not really my type. Okay. Well, what about JP on Survivor? So he's asking me about every gay guy in reality television to kind of like paint the picture of
matchmaker.
Like, oh yeah, he's trying to like find my blueprint. I love my old man.
I
though.
I never seen this show before, Big Brother.
Yeah, it's good.
I started now, like, guys. The name is Gran Hermano.
Gran Hermano.
It's in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it is a Big Brother show in many countries. We got to go around the circle and get out of here, guys. Thank you so much for coming in today, Alex. You rose to the occasion. You saved the show. Thank you so much for coming in, Nicovi. I love you.
I
love coming. Thank you for coming. Did you have fun today?
Thank you. Muchas gracias.
Thank you. And Craig, I would love it if you come back and join us some Tuesday.
I would be honored. Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much for being here. And I want to know more. Let's just leave it at that.
Let's do it.
That's it for today's special edition of Outlet Orlando, the Humble Happy Hour. Always remember, we are one human family, sometimes dysfunctional, but still a family. So until next time, always swing first. Fight good fights and let justice roll. Until next time, I wish you enough.
Bye, guys.
I'm Justice, and I love you.
You are gay.
I'm ruined on the air. I'm ruined in this.
How are you ruined on the air? How are you ruined on the air?
You made me look like an idiot.
What goes in and out of my mouth is my own responsibility, and I do who I please, and I please who I do. Okay? Okay.
Gorgeous.
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 And fabulous.
We here at Outlet Orlando give that 1, 2, 3.
Gorgeous.
Fabulous. Absolutely love it.
Didn't go to sleep, went to court, and now I'm very, very legal.
Yay!
That was wonderful. The gayest arms I've ever seen to express that.
Now I'm very, very legal.
Jizz.
It's a talk and entertainment show. I host it. I wanted to be entertaining to all people, gay, straight, young, old. I happen to be gay. You know, I don't want to do a radio show where it's us versus them mentality. We're one human family.
And the more you tout yourself around town as the happy homo, I mean, that's just great. That's f***ing great. I hate the word homo. I can't stand it. If someone calls someone gay, it's one thing. I hate it. I hate that show. I hate everything about it.
Can you get over the friggin' name of the pig and pat me in the back for matching the funds?
No. Because
we're matching the funds at Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour, raising money for a good cause.
Because
get over it.
You
it's
cannot.
It's such a good idea.
No, it's not.
It.
No, it's not.
You're
talking.
You're passionate about it. You're passionate about AIDS education because you hate AIDS pig. You would buy a shirt that says, I hate the AIDS pig.
No.
Yes, you would.
Goddess, warrior, princess, Xena style.
It's,
It's all food. Orlando, ruining lives all across America.
On a daily basis.
Got any poppers?
No.
I'm not saying that.
I'm like lobbing up beach balls for you to like come back with, you know, your sniper rifle of ha ha.
Dating the same guy.
Oh, that just came
out. Wait, what?
Look around you. Everything the light touches is gay.
Out Orlando, the homo happy hour.
Of course.